you weren't sure already, it's by me. It's buried by Christ, so it's going to be baptism. Okay, so what is baptism? What is this thing we're commanded to do? What is it really? So if you type this into Google, this is your definition. In the Christian church, the religious rite of sprinkling water onto a person's forehead or of immersion in water, symbolizing purification or regeneration and admission to the Christian church. In many denominations, baptism is performed on young children and is accompanied by name-giving. Well, I think most of us here have been taught that this is not correct. Many of this is erred, flawed, and that's what most of my talk is about. Why? What is the real meaning of baptism? Why do we have to do it? Okay, why? If you turn to John 3 with me, John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher, come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel, I say, you must be born again." You must be born again. If you're not baptized, there's no possibility of you going to heaven. It doesn't matter how good you are, it doesn't matter if you're Abraham Lincoln, or if you're, no matter what, you cannot go to heaven without it. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Again, you must be baptized or there is no hope for it. These are the steps, if you put it all in order, I guess. First, you have to hear the gospel. We go to church, most of us, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. So you hear that you're taught by your teachers. You have other fellowship with Christians, brothers and sisters. And you have faith. You have to hear the word. You have to believe it too. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. For whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You have to believe that, and then you have to confess it to your fellow believers. Then you repent of your sins, and you're baptized. For us, you take you back there, dip you in the water, come back up, breathe in the Holy Spirit, and you continue on your way, bring in more fellowship, more brothers and sisters, etc. Baptizo, this is the word in Greek used for this. Well, this is what it's supposed to be. I got from a lexicon, I think it's the word, it's supposed to take the Greek meaning into context with what it says in the Bible. To make a thing dipped or dyed, to immerse for a religious purpose. Dip or immerse, one, dip oneself, wash. Immersion, submersion, to dip, immerse, to sink. Dip, plunge, consisting of the process of immersion, submersion, or emergence. Immersion, submerge, to dip, immerse, to cleanse or purify by washing. Well, I didn't see any sprinkling in there, no pouring. No, sit in this chair, I'm going to pour this water on you. Congrats. Or, saying a prayer. I think about a sinner's prayer to pray him into your heart. We're not making it rain today. It has to be submersion into the water. Their point of view. I didn't really understand where they got the sprinkling from. I heard that someone was sick. So I kind of looked it up, and this is the best I got. But nearly all their arguments go back to the Old Testament, because sprinkling was very important back then for their tradition. Ezekiel 36:25. "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart, and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgment and do them." This is Old Testament. This is not something you can go to for our resurrection, our salvation. Why we don't use musical instruments in the church now. It was very common back then. It's not something that's found in the New Testament, not something we can do. Now a little more argument that I wasn't quite so sure about. It seemed a little ridiculous. It says in Acts 2:41, "And those who gladly received his word were baptized. A day about 3,000 souls were added to them. some people went to this verse and said, 3,000 people. There's no way that 12 people could baptize 3,000 people in one day. Well, if you think about it, how long does it really take to baptize one person? They walk up, confess, dipped in the water. If you gave each person about 1 minute tops to baptize, they'd be baptized all in 4.16 hours, to be exact. Examples of baptism throughout the Bible. John 3:23. Now John was also baptizing in Antioch, near Salem, because there was much water there. Mark 1:5. Then all the land of Judea and from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River. So my Uncle Rodney's here. He's been taking me fishing since I was about 6 or 7. I went to a lot. I've been to ponds, lakes, rivers. I've been swimming in them too. There's one characteristic that seems to be pretty common. There's lots of water there. Without it, it'd be a hole. There has to be a lot of water to baptize them so you can be fully immersed. You cannot be fully immersed in a cup of water. You have to be fully saturated. Mark 1:9-10, my favorite example for this. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. He came out of the water. To come out, you had to go in. He came out of the water. Last example, Acts 8:36-39. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. He came up out of the water again. First, you have to go into the water. Full immersion. Not sprinkling. Not pouring. When did this all go wrong? Okay. The first case of a substitute baptism for sprinkling or pouring was a man named Novatian in the year 251 AD. He was overcome by a threatening disease and was baptized in his bed when apparently about to die. There was no such authority for such an action, and that set off a controversy throughout the whole church. They knew it was wrong, but they went with, there's a first time for everything, right? It's not that big of a deal. It's better than nothing, I guess. It's not. 1311, the Catholic legislature and a council held in Ravenna declared immersion and sprinkling to be indifferent. It got worse, repeatedly. Rontizo. If the two were indifferent, then the Greek word rontizo would have been used throughout it. That is the Greek word for sprinkling, but it is not found in the Bible. Infant baptism. It's beginning around the 2nd century. And my reply to that is John 18:2-3. Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Be as little children." Little children do not have sin. They are not inherited the sins of Adam and Eve. They're not going to be condemned to hell if they pass away. That's why he says, be as little children. It is technically speaking about being modest. But I believe this goes with all aspects of life, to be as little children. Wrapping it up, baptism is essential to our salvation. Without it, you cannot go to heaven. It's like trying to go to your house without your key. You can't get through the door. The Holy Spirit is your key. My pre-calc teacher, Mr. Khan, has some rough time in his class. But his kind of philosophy is, every time we have a test, he takes them, goes through all the people who have the worst answers, and he asks everyone, "Have you ever seen me do this before?" On the board, practice problems. "Have you ever seen me do it this way?" "No, yeah, I haven't." "So what makes you so special? You gotta do it your own way. Why do you get to make up your own rules? If you do it my way, follow my example, and you'll get an A+ in every test." I believe God kind of says the same thing throughout the Bible. If you follow my way, and you do it as I say it and how I do it, you can enter the kingdom of God through His grace. Baptism is mentioned 100 times in the New Testament, the New King James Version, so it is obviously very important to our salvation. And that about wraps it up.